All right, well, let's get into the sermon then. I just want to kind of give you a heads up. And are we ready? Okay. I forgot to send this to the people on the who'll be listening in. You can get this sermon on the Scruples site as well. We will have the recording of it once he gets it recorded, put it in the computer, and then I'll put the link for the recording and then the link for what you're going to see here today, so you can watch it on Scruples later on if you want to. So let's talk about, as I told you last week, I want to talk about why we keep the holy days. If I want to do it from a different perspective than we've ever done before, that I've ever done before, and hopefully it'll just be another way for you to be either able to answer the question if somebody asks you why you do these things, or at least in your own mind another way of looking at it. There's more than one way to get to this building. But you can take this road, that road, and go another way, come another way, and you get to the same destination. Well, by example, there's more than one way to explain why we keep the holy days. And you can take this road and, you know, discussion and come to the here, or you can take this discussion and come to here. It's just another way to get to the same situation. Today we're going to talk about spiritual Israel, why the church observes the holy days. So we'll start from there. We have a lot of information to go through, so we'll try to move along here. Why do the nations have different traditions? And I'd like to just open this up maybe for 2 minutes. If I'm going to call to say, ask you, anybody want to describe in your own terms what is a tradition? That's what my wife was when I asked her. Because you always think, well, I know what a tradition is. Okay, what's a tradition? Okay, cultural way of doing things. That's good. You can't talk in church. Yeah, that's good. She's just a chance to pick on her. Okay, anybody else? When we talk about traditions. Okay. So I think you're seeing it, that there are some reflections of culture. What's a reflection of culture? If you've traveled overseas, right away you'll know. What's one of the reflections of culture? My wife. Food and clothing. When we went to Malaysia, I'm sorry, I did not like the food. They put something in it. And, I would read what it was on the menu, and it wasn't what I wanted. She says, well, you're a meat and potato guy. And it'll really starch you. That's why I'm a butterball. So, I am. And when we were in Malaysia, I enjoyed everything about it except the food. And one day we walked into a McDonald's. And I don't like McDonald's, but that was a great McDonald's sandwich. You know what? Because it was part of my culture. I was familiar with it. Now, Cecily has a lot of experience in different cultures. She has a much better attitude about food and that kind of stuff, too, than I do. But, when you go to a different country, you're dealing with different cultures, customs, practices that are very, very different than ours. I think we've all kind of hit that. So traditions and customs form each other. You have traditions which produce customs, and customs which produce traditions. And not all of them are bad. We have customs and traditions. We have a tradition of wearing ties in formal occasions. I think we should change that tradition myself. Okay. But there's nothing wrong with that. This is the form of way of teaching. This is more the Greek style, where it was a teacher and everybody listens. This is more the Greek style, if I remember right. There's other ways of doing it. So just because it's in the culture doesn't mean it's wrong, but a lot of things are in the culture that are wrong. So the scripture that pops out of my mind as we move ahead here is, do not be conformed to the world, because there's traditions everywhere. But to be transformed by the renewing of the Holy Spirit in our minds. But we're constantly having to be on guard. Okay, this is cultural. Is it wrong? And if it's not, okay, then let's absorb that. If it is wrong, we need to change that. And we tie that in with the holy days as we go through this discussion here today. Now, you can see the light color? Okay? Okay, good. I have here Old Testament, New Testament.
This is from Exodus 12, verse 48 and 49 from the English Standard Version. If a stranger shall sojourn with you and should keep the Passover to the Lord. Now, this is Old Testament. If a stranger, now that's the way of saying it. If a Gentile. A Gentile wants to keep the Passover, let all his males be circumcised. So so in the Old Testament, they had to meet and obey the law. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Then he may come near and keep it. So he has to be circumcised, and it means he made a covenant with God and so forth. And his family, because he's the head of his family, will be part of that too. He shall be as a native from the land. Okay, now that's, I should have really highlighted that. When he is circumcised, he is as a native. He becomes an Israelite. See? Now you're thinking, there's some New Testament stuff that talks about that. That's good. He becomes an Israelite. But no uncircumcised person shall eat of it, shall not eat of the Passover. So there's several angles here. To eat the Passover in the Old Testament, you had to be circumcised, i.e. you enter into the covenant relationship with God. And we'll talk about those requirements. This is important. There shall be one law for the native and for the stranger who now is circumcised and now is part of Israel, who sojourns among you. There's no affirmative action. There's no, you know, in our culture, people have suffered from racism and so forth, to a degree sexism as well. You know, one time for a woman to drive a car was just seen as horrendous. To vote, women never voted. If I recall right, during the time of the American Revolution, there was a move to get women to vote. See that after the Civil War. But anyway, right in that neighborhood, some of you might know. And some of the women made a move to stop it, and they did. Because they just thought it was unseemly. Why? Cultural. See? And later on, as it turns out, Wyoming was the first state to have women become voters. It's been downhill ever since. Okay. So anyway, but there's one law for the Jew, for the Israelite, and for the non-Israelite. And especially when that Gentile becomes an Israelite through circumcision. He's not even considered a Gentile anymore. He's considered an Israelite. And they're all under one law. One law. Numbers 15:15 says the same thing. A native-born Israelite, this is from the New Living Translation, and foreigners are equal before God and are subject to the same decrees. There isn't one law for the Gentile and one for the Israelite. All the law is equally and it was supposed to be fairly administered with justice for everybody. But we know that that wasn't the case because human nature being what it is. But this is what God intended. This is a permanent law for you to be observed from the generation to generation. Well, just think, if we had done that as a nation, just the United States, we wouldn't have brought people over and put them in slaves and made them slaves. And if they had been over here and were slaves, we would have said, whoa, this is wrong. The God of Israel says we can't do this. There's all one law, and it's based on the Ten Commandments. And it just changed. It would have changed so much. Or if Europe had done that from the Middle Ages and so forth, the world would have been very, very, very different. Because God's law would have been justly administered. But it hasn't been. All right, so let's move ahead. Let's go to Leviticus 16:29 real fast. Leviticus 16. I think that's Old Testament. Verse 29. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, in the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls. This is for atonement. And do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. The point is, it's the same for everybody. Now, in some areas of administration, it was a little bit different. You could charge some Gentiles interest, for example, and others you didn't. I don't want to get into all that. But the point is, the law was to be administered equally with justice, no matter who. Chapter 17, verse 12, you see this theme again. 17:12. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, no one among you shall eat blood, nor shall the stranger dwell
among you eat blood. Now you think, what does that got to do with it? Well, does that sound familiar? What's in Acts 15? I'm going to turn there for
real quick. Acts 15. Just remember what we just read. And people want to use this verse to say, okay, this is when the church started becoming Gentile. And I'll show you the point here today is the church was never Gentile. Not the true church of God. It was always spiritual Israel. That's what it's supposed to be. Okay, now Acts 15. Acts 15. And if we're spiritual Israel, and if there's one law, and that law is forever, then that helps us to understand why we keep the holy days. Yes, in a New Testament application, but we keep the holy days. Anyway, Acts 15 and verse 20. This is when, remember now, Jews and Gentiles coming into the church, more and more Gentiles, and there's a big fight over circumcision, and Paul says you don't have to be circumcised except for the heart. And then he quotes Deuteronomy 10:16, where it says, therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart. That was really, even for the Old Testament, was the goal, i.e. repent, enter into the covenant relationship. And in the Old Testament, they would be circumcised and so forth. And then he wants to also have that circumcised heart. Now, and there were other things that they needed to learn. But if you're a Gentile and you're coming, giving up all your pagan ways, and now you're coming in trying to learn the ways of God, there's a lot. Your head is spinning. And somebody from Jerusalem shows up with this or that theory about what you should or shouldn't do. You don't know what to do because you're new to this. And so they had this big conference, and the conclusions were that they would take back. Acts 15, verse 20. Acts 15 and verse 20. But write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality. We just read that back in Leviticus 17:12. So he's saying, let me just back up a little so we can get the flow. Let's start at verse 18. Known to God from eternity all His works, therefore judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God. They're brand new at it. But that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols. Don't get involved in idolatry. Stay away from that type of thing. From sexual immorality. Again, that was in Leviticus. So he's saying, what I'm going to teach them now is Leviticus, these aspects of Leviticus. Most people think what he's doing is he's just saying, you don't have to do anything else, just these. And so forget all the thing about the law. But we'll see if that's correct. From things strangled and from blood. These are all what would be done in pagan worship services. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city being read in synagogue every Sabbath. We're going to send out this message to try and calm down the confusion that's out in the churches with the Gentiles. That, okay, here you don't have to be circumcised for salvation and that type of thing. They answered these questions in Acts 15. And here's what we're initially telling you to do. Stay away from the strangled food and don't drink blood, blah, 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 that type of thing. And he says, but you will learn the rest of the things you need to learn as you listen to the teachings of Moses. And that's what he's saying here. For Moses, that's verse 21, had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city being read in the synagogue every Sabbath. They'll learn more as they go to church on the Sabbath. And at first they went in the synagogue. And later on they got kicked out of the synagogue, but they would continue to be taught. So we're going to initially say stay away from pagan stuff, the raw pagan stuff right away. And the other things that you need to be learning, you'll learn and get fine-tuned through coming to services and being taught. That's really what he's talking about here. Now let's move on. Romans 10, verse 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. The point again is once someone becomes converted in the New Testament, we understand that, then there's really no distinction. You're a Christian. You have a circumcised heart. Christ lives in you. It doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. Okay, that's not the point with God. But I also would also be demonstrating that, and just touched on it already, that God was saying the same thing in the Old Testament. He was saying once you're converted and you are circumcised as a sign of that commitment that you're making, then what you are now part of the community. We've already read that. So again, now why am I going through this? Well, hang on to that. We'll get to it. Now, can you see? Okay, this is a graft. This is one plant being grafted into another. And Romans 11:17 says this, "And you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree," they're just out there in the world, "have been grafted in." And so the two, they go through this process like you see there. They cut the two ends and bring them together. And I think maybe they put wax or something rather in there. And then they you can see they've tied it together. And here they've braced it together. And if they're close enough species together and so forth, then they actually combine the two bushes, two different things combine, and they become one. I've heard that somewhere. See? So in a sense, they're becoming a echad, if you will. "So now also you receive the blessing God promised Abraham and his children, sharing the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree." You are now being grafted into God's olive tree, the spiritual Israel. You, just like in the Old Testament, when you were repentant and were converted, you were no longer Gentile. You were now part of the communities, it says. Same in the New Testament. Same in the New Testament. And he's saying, you have to understand, Christianity is not Gentile. Christianity is not a Gentile religion. Gentile means from the nations. So when you read in the Old Testament, especially in the Old Testament, they go to the nations. This really means they go into the Gentiles, the non-Israelites. And then when they're converted, they go through this grafting. They're being grafted into the root. Okay, they're being grafted into the root. And the root is the teachings that we see that come from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you know, in the Old Testament, God was very strict about not combining pagan holidays with worshiping Him. We've gone over that many times. You can look that up in Deuteronomy 12, the last couple verses, and Deuteronomy 13, verse 1 through 3, somewhere in that area. "You shall not worship me in that way." So forth and so on and so forth. We've covered that. So they're grafted in. And when they grafted in, they're grafted into Israel. Now, with that in mind, let's move ahead. We're called Abraham's seed. I thought that was kind of neat when I found that seed. Okay. "For there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him." So when a Gentile becomes a Christian, they're Christian. They're not spiritually not considered Gentile. They are now grafted into the root. And now they're part of Israel. And more specifically, as we'll see, spiritual Israel. Spiritual Israel worships the same God of the Old Testament. Now, the Jews made their own religion, and there were some things, obviously, that they did that was right, and many things they didn't. They formed their own culture and their own traditions, and that's why Jesus ran into that, and he had this clash with their culture based upon the oral tradition, and we covered that earlier, a couple weeks back. They're the wild olive tree grafted in and mentioned in Romans 11:24. Let's quickly go there. Romans 11. So what we're seeing here, I hope you'll stop and realize, even in the Old Testament, God wanted to bring Gentiles to Him. But in order to do that, they had to become Israelites. He also wanted Israel to come to Him, and very few did. Very few did. Okay. And so this concept here really it flows together from Old and New Testament. Old and New Testament. And Israel failed miserably in being the light that it should have been and being the one that would be an example so the Gentile would want to come in and would want to become Israelites in the Old Testament sense of the word. And then from, I can't read all of it, but Romans 11, read it yourself, talks about there's a judgment on Israel. And, all right, let's go to Romans 11. They've been rejected, at least most of them for a time. Romans 11, 1. "I say then, has God cast away His people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, and the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." So genetically, you know, he could genetically say, I'm connected to Abraham. But we'll see, that really doesn't matter. You have to be spiritually connected. Spiritual DNA, shall we say. Okay.
But he says, you know, God has not cast away his people, verse 2, from whom he foreknew. Or do you not know that the scripture says, Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and have torn down your altars, and I alone am left. He felt like he was the only one left. He's really discouraged. And they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? So this was the prayer that he made, and now the divine response, that this is God responding to him. He says, I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the Baal, the paganism. Even so, at this time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace.
He says, not all Israel now understands that they've been rebellious, but God is still calling a remnant of Israel. And we know the story. Later on, he's going to call not only Israel, but the other people of the other nations. But now when God calls, they're grafted in. And in a sense, more than just a sense, and again, reality is, when a person who is a genetically an Israelite is truly converted, now they're truly a real Israelite. Because remember, Paul says a real Israelite is not one who's one physically, but one spiritually. So we can't just claim, okay, I'm genetically hooked up with one of the tribes of Israel, therefore I'm in with God. We know that that's not the case. All right. Ruth was grafted in. She was a Gentile, and she was grafted in. Remember what she said? For I'll go where you go. My wife, this is one scripture she had read at our wedding, not really realizing what it all meant. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall become my people, and your God will become my God. She was grafted into Israel. Old Testament Israel. She had a circumcised heart. And she'll be in the kingdom. But we know most of Israel failed miserably. In fact, if it wasn't for her, well, of course, God used her. But she was willing to put everything on the line to save Israel. She's a real hero. Heroine. Heroine? She's cool. Okay. Now, let's take a look at some of these verses. Romans 9, verse 6, English Standard Version. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all those who are descendant from Israel belong to Israel. That's what I read to you before. Just because you're genetically Israelite doesn't mean you're really an Israelite in the ultimate sense of the word. Now, if I had to understand my genetics and we have the right tribes, I'm part of a couple tribes of Israel from my mom and dad's background. But then again, you know, what matters? You know, Irish and French. Don't hold that against me. I'm a drunken lover. Okay. I hate alcohol, so that's why. Okay. But anyway, so for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, the ultimate spiritual Israel. But has God written off physical Israel? No. That's what we read earlier. But God has had to kind of rewind a little bit and come at this from a different angle. And not all children of Abraham, because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. It has to be through faith. Through faith. This means that it is not the children of flesh, genetically connected, who are the children of God, but the children of promise are counted as offspring. Romans 9, verse 8. We read 6 through 8. You are a child of promise. You are Israel. And as part of Israel, you are subject to the law of God. That's why you keep the holy days. That's why you're here today. We are not Gentiles. Well, I don't care what your racial background is. Once you're converted, you are an Israelite. More than a genetically connected Israelite. But God will use them later on too. So we're God's spiritual offspring. And as God's spiritual offspring, does it make sense that we would worship God's holy days or Satan's? And try to mix it all in. Faith and works. We see this in James 2, verse 22, again from the English Standard Version. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? We heard about in the sermonette, which went great with what I was going to cover. He was willing to offer up a son. When he offered up his son Isaac on the altar, But you see, faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. So faith and works go together. I know people who will acknowledge what day the Sabbath is, and they know when it starts and ends. They quote all kinds of verses and scriptures, but they go and party and work and do whatever they want on the Sabbath. So the knowledge does them no good at all. In fact, it can become very dangerous knowledge. And they know what the holy days are, but so what? They may or may not come. They can form their own theologies. But here, it's faith being, and works are your faith being demonstrated. And that's what Abraham was doing when he was willing to offer up his son. And what a terrible conflict that had to have been for him. And not to mention Isaac. Hey, Dad, something's not right here. Anyway. Well, this term here, I want to kind of hit this: strangers, foreigners, and fellow citizens. This is from Ephesians 2, verse 19. These are verses you've read, but I kind of want to break them down. Again, we're all talking about, why do we keep the holy days? Because we're spiritual Israel. We have circumcised hearts. And there's one law for everybody. Of course, it's the Ten Commandments and how you apply that. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. He's writing to Gentiles, and he's assuring them, now that you have God's Holy Spirit, you've repented, you have a circumcised heart, and if they want to be physically circumcised, I imagine a lot of them were. But anyway, that's neither here nor there at this point for our discussion. But let's look at how, let's break down this down a little bit. These same words. Stranger in the Greek, you can see the word there, and that corresponds to that. In the concordance, it reads, apparently a primary word, foreign, literally alien, figuratively, it means anything about implication, a guest. So you're no longer a guest. You used to have, remember when they came out of mixed multitude out of Egypt? There was a mixed multitude. There were Egyptians, and there were others that came out with them. And they lived among them. They were right in the community, but separate from the community. They were there, but they weren't Israelites. But they were in the community. So it says here they were strangers. Primarily they were foreigners. And God right away, he said, okay, there's one law, guys. And everybody's subject to it. Foreigners having a home near. They were foreigners and they lived right near close to you. See? And then, but a fellow citizen, that is figuratively, you're of the same religious belief. So, how can we break that down? You're no longer living by us as foreigners in the same community. You're now part of our household. You're part of the family. You're no longer Gentiles, cut off from God, as other verses say. You're now part of Israel and subject to the law of God. And what's one of those important? I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, where is a statute? Where is a statute? Of what statute is there to help us to do that? A statute is an application, if you will. That's my term. Application of the law. Holy days. How do I keep the true God? Oh, okay. Worship on his day. Friday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday. But worship him. Fellowship, don't forsake assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is. Then observing the holy days that God established with a plan in those holy days, and it's being worked out so that spiritual Israel today, doesn't matter, man, woman, doesn't matter, what race you are, doesn't matter, cultural background. Boy, I know some of you go overseas for the feast. I mean, you've got people from very, very different cultures, and yet they're all spiritual Israelites. I think I mentioned one lady there in Malaysia. At least from where she was, in that part of the world where she was Oriental by race and culture. They don't kid around. They're very quiet. And they're very polite. But they don't kid around like crazy Texans and crazy Australians. Although Australians, they're crazy. And I love them. They're, don't get me wrong, they're great people. We hit it off right away. I hit it off with them. My wife's just shaking her head most of the time. But anyway, we got. But and I know this lady. She might have these crazy Americans and crazy Australians. But she understood we are a different culture, and I understand. And you can't kid with them like you would with each other. You can't do it. It's insulting to them. But they're still God's people. They are Israelites because they're converted and have God's Holy Spirit. And God's using and training all of that. Now, how can we learn about what's the purpose of our calling? Go back to the Holy Days. And as you go through the Holy Days, you remember who the Lord your God is. You shall have no other gods before me. Why do you keep the Holy Days? Oh, because I'm a spiritual Israelite. Well, see, the argument is, and it's just absolutely backwards, and we'll show you in a second. The argument is that God's church is now, the Christian church is Gentile. And basically they want to try to save Jews, because that's who they identify as Israelites, and to become Gentiles in Christianity. Now there's the Hebrew roots movement. They're trying to change that, but there's some rabbis very upset about all that. A lot of rabbis say, so you're trying to make us Gentiles. Which, if you look at the argument, that's true. Anyway, let's move on. So then you are no longer strangers and tenants, is another way of putting it, but fellow citizens and saints and of the family of God. Once you were not a people, 1 Peter 2:10, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. Whether you're an Israelite or now you're a Jew, or a Gentile or an Israelite, once you've been converted, these verses all apply to all of them, but especially to the Gentile. And it's wonderful because they all come under the same law that we've talked about. Now, I guess you can say it. Every race is racist, not just white folks. And that's been one of the greatest problems in all cultures is racism. And then you mix racism with religious hatred and bitterness. We're now experiencing that on a global scale. And it's going to get worse. Now it's going to explode in Europe, probably through the Islamic thing, and then there may be a huge Christian response to that. And those read prophecy and all that, and that's not my purpose here today. Everybody's racist. There's a lot of sexism in everybody. It's just the way it is. It's a sick, sick culture. Satan just plays and plays and plays on it all the time. The Jews were racist. Gentiles were racist. It's not just the white thing. Everybody is. And once you see that and repent of it, it's better. If you're from... Okay, I think everybody understands it. Everybody knows that if you live outside Texas, you're only almost an American. Now that's for true blue Texans. They just, there's Texas and then the great unwashed outside. No. Wyomingites. Oh, we're talking about that. People from Wyoming just think the world revolves around Wyoming. I'm sorry, it doesn't. But if you've lived there all your life, and Texans think the same thing. I used to kid, remember, I used to, there is life on the other side of that border. So, and again, this proclivity to think one is better than others has been a huge problem with all races and with all religions. 1 Peter 2:10, you shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you. Wow. Old Testament, treat the stranger among you with fairness, justice, and kindness. Why? And you shall love him as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You love the Lord your God. Remember the two great commandments? And so Jesus just quoted this from the Old Testament. And of course, he's quoting it as well. So anyway. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Remember, I brought you out of Egypt. I'm the Lord your God. Remember what it was like when you first came out, how frightening it was. And you're in a new culture, when Israel was being introduced to the true God again. It's a troubling and upsetting time. Everything's new. And now when you see somebody come into the community, treat them with respect. Be kind to them. Because remember when you were a slave and you had just come out. Remember what that's like. Wow. Can you imagine how different the history would have been? If just that had been done. But instead, there's tribes in Africa who sold other tribes from other people from other tribes to the slave traders to Europe and to the United States and so forth. And why? Because they were of the wrong tribe. And everybody knows you either kill them or sell them off. You might as well sell them off. You can't make money doing it. So I'm trying to say racism and hatred and hypocrisy, it's everywhere. Everybody. And if they'd learned to live by that one law, the law of God, which is based upon love of neighbor and self as you do yourself. It's so simple, it's profound, but it's deep. And God's Israelites, God's spiritual Israel, learns that as we go through our life. And we rehearse that
at the feast, don't we?
Now, Deuteronomy 24:17, English Standard Version, you shall not prevent justice due to this, pervert justice due to the sojourner or the fatherless, or take the widow's garment and plunge. Wow. Don't steal from the old people. Don't steal from the children who have nobody there to protect them, or from the widow. You know, just, oh, well, everybody knows that. Well, then why don't we do it as a culture? See, this is not in our culture. We had to legislate it in. Welfare, Social Security, all these other things, because it wasn't being done. We wouldn't need all this other stuff if we did it the way God said. Just, it wouldn't be there. But because we haven't as a people, this is what's happened. 24, verse 22, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, same concept. Therefore, I command you to do this. Let's go to Isaiah 56:3 quickly. Isaiah 56. When I was preparing this, I had one more slide to go. You're probably wishing I'd find it. And the computer locked up. I go, no, don't do that. But it came back. Okay, Isaiah 56, verse 3. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. Don't treat them so poorly that they feel they're cut off from God. That's really what he's saying here. Now, we move down to verse 6 for time's sake. Also, the sons of the foreigner. See, God wants the foreigner, the Gentile, to come into Israel in the Old Testament. He wanted them to come. As they would see the example of physical Israel, he wanted the Gentile to connect themselves to it and become part of that community and to learn at the level they could in the Old Testament time. So also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him, they become converted and they have received God's Holy Spirit. I mean, they've been circumcised, and many of them probably did receive the Holy Spirit. We saw that in Hebrews 11, but I can't speak to all. But at least they made a commitment to God and entered into that covenant relationship. Okay. Also the son of the foreigner who joins himself to the Lord to serve him and to love the Lord, the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even though I will bring to my holy mountain and make joyful in my house of prayer, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. They are part of the community. In the Old Testament, they've repented, they've want to serve God at whatever level they understood at that time. God says, I want them, I want Gentiles to come in, I want them to be. You have to remember, to the physical Israel, from the Old Testament perspective, you are my people, be the example. I am the Lord your God, keep my holy days. And then that transfers over into spiritual Israel for us today. Now this is an article, a guy is commenting on an article, and he's an archaeologist, kind of a pudding-headed intellectual, but the question put to him, he says, when did Christianity become Gentile? And that is considered what happened. It started out Jewish, but now it's Gentile. And it's just the opposite. Everything we've been reading today says, you're no longer Gentiles, you're spiritual Israel. And that's why we keep the Holy Days. Anyway, he says, he's quoting here, the article is very good and describes the lifestyle of the earliest Judean Christians. Because he's been asked a question, he read several articles, now he's commenting. It states, how did the original Judeo-Christians of Jerusalem compare to their Jewish neighbors? in some essential ways they did not differ from them at all. Well, that's okay. That's good. In particular, the apostles and their followers continued to frequent the religious center of Judaism, the temple at Jerusalem, for private and public worship. It was there that they performed charismatic healings. And you see these verses there. According to Acts, the entire Jesus party, that's what he called it. Again, he's kind of a pudding-head, assembled for prayer at the sanctuary every day. So they were very much still in the Jewish community. Even Paul, the chief opponent of the obligatory performance of Jewish customs in his churches, turned out to be a temple goer on his occasional visits to Jerusalem. That is utter nonsense. See, that is utter nonsense. But see, that's what they believe has happened. Well, here it is. That Paul, if he was with the Jews, he would just act like a Jew, but he misquote a verse. But let's go to Acts 21. Let's see if that phrase is right. They're saying Paul really was instrumental in making it the Christian church a Gentile church because he wanted to get it away from all these old Jewish teachings. All right, let's go. And actually, to Acts 21:17. This is towards the end of his life. It's funny how they can get part of it right, and the next part they just, what? My wife will hear me sometimes, and I go, what? You know, well, what do you read now? All right, Acts 21, I'm going to start in verse 17. And when they had come to Jerusalem, I believe it's Timothy and Paul and others, the brethren received us gladly. So on the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. So now with the elders in the church. When they greeted them, he told in detail those things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord. They're beginning to put some of these things together that we've been talking about today. Spiritual Israelite. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said to him, "See, you see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are zealous for the law. But they have been informed about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they not be circumcised their children, nor walk according to the customs." So they said, okay. But they're saying, that's the charge against you, Paul. Let's demonstrate that that's not true. So what happened? What then? The assembly must certainly meet, for they will hear that you have come. They want to hear about this guy, and they're getting misinformed, they're getting partial information, and they want to clear it up. Therefore, do what we tell you. We have four men who have taken a vow, very much a Jewish thing here, and within the law, take them to be purified with them and pay their expenses, there'll be certain expenses to the temple, so that they may shave their heads. And that all may know that those things which they were informed concerning you are nothing. See? Though these are false charges. Yet this fellow in this statement up here says, oh yeah, they're all true. So they believed the lie. But that you yourself also walk accordingly and orderly and keep the law. All right. So we see that that statement is false. I'm just showing you that even this fellow here sees that it started out with, quote, Jewish, we're going to say scriptural traditions, customs. Of course, they had to learn a lot of new things. Then he goes on to say, when did Christianity cease to be Jewish and become a Gentile religion? See, that's what it's believed. Now, didn't we just read so many of these verses that says you're no longer Gentiles, but you're now Israelites, subject to the same law that Israel is. And that's why some of you are genetically Israelites. Like I said, I am, my wife is partially. I don't know, maybe totally, who knows. German and Jew, so I know the Jew part. But there's a part of Germany that seems to have a lot of Jews in it. At least it did before World War II. So who knows, because of the names. But it doesn't matter. But the point is, some of you have genetically, you're part of Israel genetically. And God says, oh, that's nice. But really, what I'm really concerned about is spiritually. Become a spiritual Israelite. And the rest of the genetically connected Israelites, when Christ comes back, he's going to put them to work. at a different level to do things they should have done. But anyway, they believed now that when did Christianity cease to be Jewish? Well, it wasn't Jewish, but that's how he views it, and became a Gentile religion. I don't know, really, he says, the answer, but I speculate. By the writing of the Epistle of Barnabas, Christians were rapidly departing from the Judaic root. Yeah, they started to keep Sunday, Easter, see, a new so-called Christianity developed. It is my opinion that this can be summed up in the word persecution. Again, that's just his, that the life was getting too hard for him, and they just decided they didn't want to mix in and be, quote, Jewish anymore. They'd become Gentiles and mix in with the world. There's probably some truth to this, but it's not extensive. The average everyday Roman would have looked at Christianity as only a mere extension of Judaism. That's true. And they would have persecuted them along with the Jews. And that happened. Additionally, the Jews were also persecuting the Christians as heretics. That's true. And expelling them from the synagogues and the social circles from which they sprang. In short, Christianity found itself without a home and without a separate identity. What a shame. If they knew the Sabbath and the holy days, they would have that separate identity. But when you take it away and say you're Gentile, what are you going to do? You're going to go hunt down those weak and beggarly elements, that he said. Why are you going back to the weak and beggarly elements? You are spiritual Israelite. But he says here they didn't have a separate identity anymore. Okay, everybody knows that the Jewish people are part of Israel, don't they? Why? Because they acknowledge what day the Sabbath is. Most of them don't keep it, but they know. So they have that identifying sign. Thus, the early church fathers began to establish these non-Jewish traditions. Well, that's true. This identity had to be separate from the Jews. Well, no. Again, anti-Semitic feelings. It was at this junction that Christianity became a Gentile religion. Totally opposite of everything we've been reading. God didn't call people to become Gentiles. He called them to become spiritual Israel. And spiritual Israel obeys God's law. It's called the Israel of God, Galatians 6:16. And as many as walk according to the rule, to the law of God, peace be on them and mercy upon the what? The Israel of God. We are the Israel of God. And the Israel of God obeys the law of God. And we want to be an example. Now what the problem is that the church has always had, and it's really having right now in our time, is that we're butting up against all these traditions, aren't we? In the world. You don't observe this. You don't do that. Oh, you can't even be Christian. What are you talking about? Okay, so the point is, when the church is trying to, and if you've talked to relatives, you've butted up against this. The traditions and customs are so deep, and they're so deeply rooted. You think, man, God is inspiring my response. I'm learning from my response. I'm answering this guy's questions. And they go, They didn't get it. They just don't get it. Because there's a veil over their eyes. But we're the spiritual, let me go back here. We are the Israel of God. We are called the Israel of God. Not the Gentiles of God. The Israel of God. And it came to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, again, the word nations refers to the Gentiles, which come against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King of the King and the Lord of hosts and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah 14, we're jumping way ahead, when Christ returns, then God is going to demand the nations, the Gentiles, and, of course, the Israelites that are among them, they're going to start teaching them the ways of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what will that teaching involve? All the things that we're learning. Who will be doing the teaching? You will be. You will be doing the teaching, and you're going to be teaching them. You're not, when you repent, you will now be a part of the household of God. You'll become part of the Israel of God. And part of them to learn that, it says, after Christ returns, they will be observing the Feast of Tabernacles. This verse just sends the scholars into frizzes. They don't know what to do. Right? Andy knows that. Okay, well, I guess, that, you know, all this stuff. They don't quite know what to do because it's right there. It's pretty clear. After Christ comes back, the nations, the Gentiles, will be coming to Jerusalem. What will they be doing? Teach us about your God. And that's what ancient Israel was supposed to do, and that's what the Spirit, the Israel of God, does. So the kingdom of God awaits the Israel of God. We're looking forward to that. We're going to be observing the fall festivals, among them the Feast of Tabernacles. So I hope that when we enter into these fall holy days, think about it. The Israel of God, that's you and me and the others who know God's truth and have God's Spirit. The Israel of God obeys the laws of God, keeps the commandments of God, because we love God and want to worship Him, and we're looking forward to the time which we can teach billions, hundreds of millions, and billions of people. Can you imagine trying to teach a jihadist? Ay, ay, ay. Put a sock in his mouth, and timed out for a while. Say, okay, now you're going to listen here, bub. You know, we're going to talk to you about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see the face just going roaring. No, we don't have to be taught. And they will. They'll come to the feast. And it's, later on, Zacharias says, if they don't come, it won't rain. Of course, in West Texas, it takes a long time to figure that out. But anyway. So anyway, we look forward as the Israel of God to the kingdom of God. And as the Israel of God, that's why we keep the laws of God. Because it's the one law for all the Israel of God.